Hello and welcome to Elim Church, Swanley. You're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, for today's podcast.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today. As you listen back to this podcast, we are gathering around the mics with a cup of coffee. And more importantly, we have the Word of God. We are with Steve Valla and we are recording this podcast, our weekly podcast. And we thank God for his life and his study and the in-depth study that he does. And we are in Isaiah 42, 1 to 8, and also in the Gospel of John. And we are looking at the glory of God, a big subject. I know I say this every week that we record these, but they are big subjects, and Steve does such a great job in just taking us in, holding us there for a while, and then bringing us back out. And we thank God for his understanding of the Word of God. And as we always do say, if you need any more information, please just contact us here. But Steve, welcome.
Afternoon, everyone.
How are we going?
All right, mate.
We ready to rumble?
Yeah, I just want to, first off, as a kind of little testimony.
Yeah.
When you were preaching yesterday, the Lord really met with me.
Praise God. In a
way, he answered prayers for me that had been laid down over a long period of time. And he met with me. And I know I was in tears, but hey, who cares? But he met with me in a particular way yesterday. And
that's beautiful.
Yeah, it was fantastic. So I just want to thank God for what he did.
Amen. Good news.
Okay, so whilst this is called The Glory of God, I suppose the longer title would be The Glory of God and How Easy It Is to Steal It From Him.
Oh, right. Yeah. yeah, I got okay. That.
Right, so I want to read all of Isaiah 42, 1-8. So I'm going to do that. Here is my servant whom I support, my chosen one in whom I take pleasure. I have placed my spirit on him. He will make just decrees for the nations. He will not cry out or shout. He will not publicise himself in the streets. A crushed reed he will not break. A dim wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully make just decrees. He will not grow dim or be crushed before the establishing justice is, sorry, before the establishing justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait in. And sorry, I'm going to have to read this again. He will not grow dim or be crushed before establishing justice on the earth. The coastlands will wait in anticipation for his decrees. This is what the true God, the Lord, says. The one who created the sky and stretched it out. The one who fashioned the earth and everything that lives on it. The one who gives breath to the people on it and life to those who live on it. I, the Lord, officially commission you. I take hold of your hand. I protect you. You make a covenant mediator for people and a light to the nations to open blind eyes, to release prisoners from dungeons, to those who live in darkness from prisons. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not share my glory with anyone else or the praise due me with idols.
Wow.
Go straight to 17. When Jesus had finished saying these things, he looked upward to heaven and said, Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you have given him authority over all humanity, so that he may give eternal life to everyone you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created. Now, I want to hold it there.
Yeah, yeah.
Isaiah 42, basically it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And in verse 8, God says, I will not share my glory with anyone else.
That really made my antennae pop up, I must be honest with you there, because that punches everything out the window.
Yeah, and then Jesus pops up and says, glorify me with the glory I had with you.
At the beginning. Is that, that's in John, isn't it?
That's in John.
That's in John, and that's another area
and
where.
So what, you take these two scriptures, yeah, and come together, and you know that Christ,
you know,
is God.
Yes.
Because he shares a glory,
yeah,
with God, who will share it with no one else.
No human being, no preacher, no teacher.
So the only way that Jesus can share in his glory is that he is one with his Father.
Yep, and that is in verse 5, John chapter 17. Now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began.
That's it.
I'm reading from the NIV and Steve's reading out the ESV, is that correct?
Actually, no, I think it might be the NET. NET.
Okay. So, as Steve has said, it is really clear that God will not share his glory with no one.
Nope.
No one.
Nope. But Jesus is saying to share, and now, Father, glorify me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was created.
That's it. Just, yeah.
So now we ask the question, what is glory?
What is the glory?
What is the glory? Well, the glory in one sense, in a physical sense, is that dynamic light which comes out of God, which exposes the darkness, which crushes the darkness.
His brilliance.
His brilliance, which is, shall we say, he is so holy, so true,
yep,
so wonderful, so loving, so merciful, that he cannot hold it within himself. It has to burst out of him.
Oh, goodness.
That's a bad description.
No, that's not. That's right. Not. That's a great description, because me being me, I work with pictures, and I'm just trying to I can picture that, but what I picture is nothing to what it really is. The glory is so strong, is so yes, holy, is so pure.
Yes.
Humanity cannot stand in that glory.
That's right. Now, the other aspect of glory...
Can I just...
Sorry, yes, carry on.
When we look at Moses, when he was at the burning bush...
Yes.
The scripture... Am I right in saying where the scripture says that his countenance changed?
It wasn't with the burning bush. It was when he was up in the...
He was up in the mountain.
And he came down, and he came to have his face covered, because he glowed with the glory of God, with the reflected glory of God.
So that is an important part of what we're looking at, that you will change if you've been in his presence.
Yes.
In that amount of glory, that radiance, that glory.
Yeah.
That it was so strong, his countenance had been completely changed. So when we hear all these people in the false side saying that they've been with God and all that, the scripture tells me straight away that no one can share this beautiful, this holiness but Jesus. So that puts a flat liner, a hammer, on everything that we've heard.
Yeah, I mean, especially if some twit turns up and says, I'm God. I mean, come on.
Hang on a minute. No, you can't do that.
No.
So the false prophets and this false teaching that we speak about a lot, which we need to, because we said keeping an eye out, a weather eye out, on all the things that are going on to see where the world sits with the word of God. So this is very clear today to me that no one has been into that place, can share the glory, can have the glory, apart from the Son and the Father.
Yes, exactly.
That's
right.
It.
Yeah. And whilst I said about the physical aspects of it, the glory that Jesus is talking about here,
mm-hmm,
is the honour of being God.
Yes.
All right? It is something which is an actual fact. It's not added to him. It's not taken away from him. When he talks about we glorify him, and I want to get onto that later, we don't add to God's glory.
No.
Neither can we take away from God's glory.
We cannot add to
it. He is the honoured one.
With us or without us.
With us or without us. He is the honoured one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't need us to say how wonderful he is.
No.
He knows how wonderful he is.
Yep.
He doesn't need us to worship him and build him up and puff him up.
Mm-hmm.
Because seriously, when we come down to worship, one of the reasons that we come to this place of worship and this place of honour that is honouring him, it humbles us.
Yes.
And in so doing, draws us to him. Remember, it says God resists the proud.
Yeah.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
But he accepts the humble. God's desire is to draw us to himself. And one of the ways that occurs is when we humble ourselves in truth,
yeah,
and worship him, mm-hmm, truly,
mm-hmm,
and honour him truly,
yeah,
with both the words of our mouth and the lives which we live. And so this honour which we give to him,
yeah,
because he deserves it, because,
yeah,
he is God, and then on top of that, he honours us already by sending his Son, and we give him thanks and praise and glory and honour. And in all of this, we say, you are the one true God. All things come from you. You have created all things. You are above all things. What does it do? It humbles us, and in the humility draws us closer to him.
And as it draws us closer to him, am I right in saying as well that we become brought more under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit? So we analyze and we look more, and the closer we come, the
brighter his light shines upon our soul and gives us understanding. Yeah,
and we look and go, well, I've got to, this needs to be dealt with. So
from that aspect, yes, because what we as young Christians, what we considered was sin or was wrong in the sight of God, there were certain things that we continued to do. Yeah. But as we grew, God said, no, deal with that, deal with that, deal with that, deal with that, and so on and so forth.
So on the humbling road, the journey,
yes,
it deals with sin, obviously, as well.
Yes, it does.
And it deals with everything.
Yep. I mean, in the sense of when God reveals something that is wrong within us, we should give thanks to him for what he's done so that we can deal with it before him.
Yeah, so we don't go, oh, hang on a moment, that's me. God tells us and shows us because we are sinners by nature.
Yeah, and he hates what he sees, and he doesn't want us to walk in it, because his love for us is to draw into himself.
Yeah.
And so when he convicts us of our sins,
yes,
we say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. He's working within us.
He's working within us to will and to work to his good pleasure.
Because as a human being, and a world in fallen world that we live, and the fallen state and society that we look at, and the amount of dross and the abyss that I feel sometimes we're in, this black hole of almost a non-return in place, and the darker it feels, but his light is shining brighter, and his glory is shining through.
Yes.
His presence is drawing us, and as he draws us, as Steve says, sometimes we can feel a bit gritty, because it's got to be the power of the Holy Spirit saying,
yes,
Ben,
because he's revealing things which he doesn't like.
We've got to, this got to be dealt with.
He hates these. There's
it's got to be dealt with.
He hates us, and he wants us to deal with them.
Yeah. But
and he wants to deal with them, but he knows what's already there. He shines upon us.
Yeah.
And are we going to be humble enough to bow before him and say, forgive me?
Yeah.
And deal with this, please.
Yeah.
And more, thank you for showing me.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing me. Thank you that although this was hidden from me, you've revealed it to me, and you've given me the strength and the joy to deal with it before you.
Yeah, it's interesting what Steve said. It's been hidden from us, but sometimes when I just thinking about what Steve said, it's been hidden from us. I could live in it quite comfortably in the flesh, but when he reveals that to me, what a pull-up that is.
Oh, yes.
Well, hang on a minute, I've been living like that, and I felt comfortable in that.
Yep.
But God, now you're revealing that. Now it's only you can deal with that.
Can I tell a very short story about John Wycliffe?
Yeah.
Now, Wycliffe, who was called the Morning Star of the Reformation during the 14th century in this country, began to look at the Word of God and began to understand that a lot that was coming out of Rome was just corrupt and evil and wrong.
Yeah.
And before Luther came on the scene, he started to stand against it.
Yeah.
I think he had a protector in, I think it was John of Gaunt, who was a very powerful duke in this country at the time. And Wycliffe was able to develop an understanding of the word, albeit he was using a Latin Vulgate. He wasn't a Hebrew or Greek scholar, but he began to develop understandings through the word of God that so many practices were wrong and evil. And he spent many, many years standing against these things and declaring how wrong they were.
Yeah.
Now, during that period of time, he had to have someone like John of Gaunt backing him up, much the same as Luther needed the Prince of, I've forgotten where he was, but he had to have him back, because otherwise the Pope would have had him and had him killed.
Killed.
All right, but Gaunt looked after him. Now, Wycliffe carried on in this way for over the years, building up, building up, building up, building up. And God was building up something within him. He was building a strength in him, and he was building in him a place where he was going to have to face a very difficult situation. And that situation was the communion. Because at that time, everybody believed in transubstantiation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody believed that only a priest could say the words over the bread and over the wine. And, you know, the whole thing God convicted Wycliffe of the abomination of the Mass. But the point being is this. He allowed him to take the Mass for many, many years before he brought conviction to him.
So it was, I was taking it time
step
and
by
time.
Step by step.
And he was in that, and he believed it. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit, God, revealed it to him.
Yep.
This is changing.
But he didn't reveal it to him until he knew that Wycliffe could receive it and do something about it.
That's really encouraging. I hope you picked up, like I have from this, from Steve, what he's told us through this great story, is that God will strengthen us without us really understanding to be able to deal with the way that we may have lived, that the way that we may have, like he took of the communion, time and time and time and years and years. Yep. And then suddenly, what's this, Lord? What are you doing?
Yep.
So he had to stand up against the powers of the...
Everybody. I mean, at the time when he stood up there, I think even Gaunt got a bit wobbly, but God preserved his life. I can't remember when he died, about late 14th century. I can't remember.
I don't know.
But he was able to stand. And as I say, this is before Luther was ever around. He stood up and said, the Mass is a corruption. God hates it.
What an eruption that must have brought.
And he had to stand all by himself. He had to stand all by himself. But God had strengthened him.
It's interesting. God would have strengthened him for a long time before this, even though he was still taking of the bread and the wine.
Yes.
And God was working in that.
Yes.
And God was working in that.
Yep.
Like, soul, why do you persecute me?
And the thing about it is that God, through his revelation, Wycliffe glorified God by obeying God and serving God and declaring the truth of what God showed him about the Mass.
That's really interesting. Uncountable people taking off the Mass, done in a strict religious order, and then suddenly one that had been involved in that has gone, no.
No.
In front of everybody.
Everybody, yeah.
To stand up and know that his life could have been taken.
Yep.
Very easy. Another thing that you said that makes me make me smile is that the Pope could kill anybody.
Yes, yes, in that time he could, yeah.
You know? What?
He was the world power.
He was the world power, the world leader.
Yeah.
It's interesting where they sit today, isn't it, with the world power and what they're all engaged in behind closed doors, everything that's going on, with the engagement of all sorts of the political arena.
Oh, yeah.
There's not much changed.
Yeah, I mean, the Pope has always been a political power.
Yeah.
Wrapped up in ermine and pearls and spouting religion.
Yeah.
But basically, it's an earthly power.
It is an earthly power. Wow. The glory of... See, God will strengthen you wherever you are. And whatever you're facing, as Steve has said, He is strengthening us in the journey that we're in. And then God, through his power and his glory, will reveal that to us. So it's not for us to worry, is it?
No, you see, knows the appointments that we have.
The appointed time.
All right, he knows the appointments we have. And what he's doing right now is strengthening in us so that we can stand in the day.
I feel that, yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that. But I do also believe there is a gentle move, can I say, on believers that are starting to have their eyes opened. Hang on. I know that I'm going to have to stand at one point.
Yes.
And whether it's alone, it will be. But I'm not alone. But I do believe God is revealing things to believers.
Yes. And so when we see this work of God in the heart of man, what mercy. What love.
Beyond.
What majestic mercy.
You can't describe it.
No, and say, you are wonderful, Lord.
And you've chose.
You are marvellous. You are majestic. You hid this man's sin from him.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though that you hated what he was doing. You hid this man's sin from him until you'd made him strong enough to be able to face it.
And that is so true for life today. Things are hidden in him while I was a sinner, you still chose me.
Yes.
While I was still in the process.
Yes.
You was working in the process, through the process, before the process began. Yeah. Midway.
I mean, Paul himself is a case in point.
A classic example.
He persecuted the church. He conspired to murder Christians.
Yeah.
But God chose him to serve him.
It's beyond human reasoning, isn't it? It's the opposite. So this is where we see God getting glory.
Glory, yes.
This is what we're talking about. This is where God gets the glory.
He gets the glory.
But it's not the glory that we are referring to earlier about the brilliance and the brightness.
That's the aspect of
splendor.
Yeah, that's the aspect of God. The glory that we give God is when we see these
the victory,
things, and we think, you put up with me. you put up with me.
You created me, and you dealt with me.
Yeah, I mean, for years and years and years, through all my stumblings, all my fallings, you never turned away.
No. Keep working with you.
You kept working on me. You kept doing. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, Lord, continue to do that work so that I can honour you the more.
So it's always giving glory to the Father.
Yes, but it's not in a forced way.
No.
It's in a way of thanksgiving.
Yeah.
God doesn't force things out of us.
The word thanks isn't enough, is it? There isn't any word in the English language that I can describe how thankful I am to him.
No.
When I say I am thankful, that feels really lame.
Well, yeah, but
it's the language that we know, though.
It's the language that we've got, yes.
But we know that we know, don't we? Deep in that knower, so to speak, that we know what we're talking about.
Yes.
It's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the area, as I said, that says, how easy is it to steal from God or steal his glory? We have this man, John Wycliffe.
Yeah.
He studies the word of God, proclaims the word of God, honours the word of God, and God honours him in return.
Yes.
What do we have today?
Mm.
We have a church that dishonours the word of God, therefore dishonours God, and so he dishonours them.
Yes.
Right? The reason that the world is in the state that it's in is because the church has dishonoured God.
Yeah.
It has lost its salt and its light,
mm-hmm.
so the body has grown rank,
mm.
and civilization walks in darkness.
Yeah.
And it's no use saying, oh, the country turned away from God. It was never with God in the first place. We spoke about the fact the other week that all are born under wrath.
All.
You can't get any further than that. You're under wrath.
You're under it.
All right?
That's from the beginning.
So you can't say you've turned away from God. You've never turned towards God.
Mm.
But the people who bear the brunt are the church. We bear the brunt because we have lost our salt, we have lost our light, and we have caused the body to grow rank and walk in blindness.
Yeah. So there's a clear line in the sand. It's no good keep blaming the world.
No, it's got nothing to do with the world. No.
It's to do with...
Yeah, we're the salt, we're the light,
not them. We are the salt and the light.
Yes.
And it has lost that.
Yes.
So we can't keep looking outside going, oh, them sinners outside.
No.
I just look within the church.
Yes, within the church.
Within, and can I say the body of Christ? Because I know it's such a difficult way to present that at the moment, isn't it? Because when you look at the church is up to so many things that are wrong, but then we talk about the body of Christ, as the scripture says, which is entirely different, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So it's very difficult how to present things when you're teaching and preaching, because when you go to the church, you've got to try and bring a clear distinction between...
I think the only way you can distinguish it now is that you've got the remnant you've got the so-called church.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And even calling it the so-called church is wrong because they are responsible for their actions because they name Christ as Lord. Now, if you name him as Lord, it says in one of the commandments that you should not you should not use the name of the Lord your God in vain.
In vain.
Or bear his name in vain. What does it mean? Well, I am a Christian, therefore I am an ambassador before the world. I bear his name. My actions bring either honour or dishonour. It's either a vain action or it's not.
Yeah.
And so we have to understand that whatever we do or say or think in the realms of our time together as Christians, whenever opportunity opens it up to talk to people that are non-Christians, we need to understand that at that point we are an ambassador. We bear the name of the Lord. We carry his name.
Mm, that's right. That's right? Very
And we scripture. Are responsible for what we say and do and think.
Yep.
We can either honour him or we can dishonour him.
Yep.
And the way the majority of the church is today is it dishonours him because it turns away from the sound word of God. It turns away from the sound doctrines of God. We have these people that keep insisting that they're going up and down to heaven mm-hmm. when there is no mm-hmm. biblical foundation for what they no. say.
Mm-hmm.
They appeal to Paul, but they don't appeal far enough because we know what happened to Paul. So they lie about yeah. what's going on. They continue to lie because they speak about things that they were supposed to have seen in the heavenly realms when Paul was not allowed to speak. And when we look at people like Ezekiel or even John, when they speak, they have to speak in such terms. Wheels within wheels. What does that mean?
What does that
wheels
all about?
Filled with eyes? Hey, you know.
That's not a language we understand.
It is not. And so Ezekiel could only say what he could say with the language he had.
Yeah.
And the same as John, because they're taken into a different realm.
Yeah.
A different dimension.
A different dimension that we can't understand.
No.
So when we've got the false prophets and teachers trying to snatch the glory for themselves.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're stealing God's glory.
They're stealing the glory.
They're stealing his glory because they're not giving him honour through his word.
And when they use this natural language that we're talking about now, they're using words that we understand, but really they're not heaven. It's not a heavenly language. It's not like the language of Ezekiel.
No, it's not.
Because they couldn't explain what they say.
No, they couldn't. Because it's beyond the wit of man to explain it.
It's beyond the vocabulary. No words can describe it. They was privileged to see it, and them trying to articulate what they see was just wheels in wheels, eyes and up.
Yeah.
Don't make sense to me. Well, it's not going to make sense to me. It's impossible.
If you look at some of the paintings of William Blake, who tried to paint the things in the Bible, they're kind of...
What's that?
And these things that you look at, you can't... They are inexpressible.
Yeah. That's scripture. It is inexpressible.
It's inexpressible.
And it was kept from me from telling you.
Yes. Daniel, seal up.
Yeah.
I mean, it hit him so hard he had to go to bed.
Made him ill.
It made him ill.
Yeah.
You know, and so these liars.
Yeah. Do you think...
Because that's what they are. They're liars.
And they get caught in that delusion. That delusion. They believe they're in a world...
Because Satan has deluded them.
Because
they've taken it hook, line and sinker.
They've taken it and they've run with it.
And they do not honour the word of God because they don't go back to the word of God to check out what they're going through.
The scripture is far from their lips. Then what we find is certain people follow them within the church, which builds up them as a person.
Yep.
And then suddenly you're in this area of look at me.
Yes.
And then suddenly you get caught in this lie, you get caught in a delusion, and you're just fueling it.
Yep.
It's being fueled by lies and words that are not true. Look at the prophecies that have been said, and it's been completely the opposite to what's been happening.
And then they say, well, you know, we're practicing to be prophets. I mean, what does that mean? is there a preface to Isaiah that I never read?
Yeah.
Is there a preamble to Ezekiel that I never read? Is there a preface to Jeremiah that I never read?
I'm getting ready for one. I've got 4,000 wrong, and I'm going to get one. You know, it's just like...
We're just practicing, boys.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the whole thing is a joke. And then when they say, if I get the prophecy wrong, it doesn't mean I'm a false prophet.
Hang on.
What does it make you then, a bus driver?
Yeah, God, no, a milkman. It's just absolutely just...
It's stupid. And then they all get upset because people call them a false prophet. You shouldn't talk to me like that. And they get all upset and they go away crying. Well, listen, pal, you're being upbraided for a reason. And if you was to listen, you might go away and repent and come before the Lord and seek his forgiveness. And who knows? He may make you a real prophet.
He may well do. But we can see that they're after what? They're after glory.
Yes, God's glory.
God's glory.
Stealing his glory.
There we go. So this is where it runs round to. It comes back to the full circle. The conversation that we're in is no one can share my glory, he says.
No.
No, you can't.
No.
Human beings won't understand it.
Nope.
They can't get near it.
Nope.
It will burn you up. You can't live in it.
Yep.
So if we was to go to, when we look at Revelation, when John said, I fell as if I was dead.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the brilliance, the brightness, that glory.
Yep.
What would that must have been? What was? I wonder what that was like. It intrigues me to think. What
You'll
that
find
would
out
be
one
like.
Day, won't you?
Yeah, no, and I'm quite worried about it.
You know what? What are you worried about?
No, but you know what I mean.
What are you worried about?
I'm not worried, but I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it's so powerful.
Well, of course it is. But
it's
the point
so
being
beyond.
Going back to dear old Wycliffe, all right?
Yeah.
God is not going to reveal that to you until you're
no,
strong enough to stand
yeah,
in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just that you think, you read these scriptures and you think, God, John, you fell as if I was dead. I think Steve is turning over in the book of...
Well, I want to go to the book of Romans, because I want to throw a spanner in the works here.
Come on,
he's going to upset an awful lot of people.
You wouldn't do a thing like that, my friend.
In Romans 8, and I'll pick it up in verse 26, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how we should pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes on behalf of the saints according to God's will. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that his Son should be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. There is a teaching that is prevalent in the church and has grown stronger and stronger over the years based on this particular aspect of Romans. And it runs something like this. This aspect of God's foreknowledge, what it really means is that he knew that I was going to choose him. So when it says that he chose me in Christ before the foundation of the world, he looked down the tunnel of time, knew that I was going to choose him, so he chose me. That's the biggest load of hogwash I've ever heard, primarily because if that is true, then why has God wasted his time building a theology that really is empty? Yeah. Why do we talk about election, calling, choice? If all of these things, if all it is I just need to choose God... Why did he build a theology to tell everybody that he chose me, and in choosing me, chose all of his children? It's an offence, you see. Yeah. God's choice is an offence. We must have our choice. We must, it says in the word that God would, that all men were saved and come to a knowledge of the truth.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure he would. But they don't.
They don't. So that's where we bring into the arena of this conversation, where preachers and teachers say the whole city is going to be saved.
Yeah.
It's not.
No. And if we go back to Romans 2, or let me read it.
Yeah.
Rather than
Romans
faff about.
Chapter
well, sorry,
2.
Sorry, it's not Romans 2, it's Romans 3.
Romans chapter 3.
And it says, verse 9, what then, are we better off? Certainly not, for we have already charged that Jews and Greeks alike all are under sin, just as it is written. There is no one righteous, not even one.
Amen.
There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. Together they have become worthless. There is no one who shows kindness, not even one. Their throats are open graves. They deceive with their tongues. The poison of asps is under their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their paths, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is all of humanity.
That.
Now you tell me how a man like that
can choose
a holy God. All right?
No way.
In John 15, and I think it's verse 16, Jesus says to his disciples, you think you have chosen me, but I have chosen you.
Yeah.
All right? He didn't go through all the faffing about, I looked down the tunnel of time and knew that you were going to choose me, so I chose you first.
I wanted to be first.
All right?
No, he chose you.
Right. You see, you've picked up a good point there, which is the point I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
I'm God and I wanted to be first. If he's so insecure.
The insecurity.
If God is so insecure, why does he have... This is a nonsense. Yeah. If it is all down to me choosing him, all right, all he had to do was write in his words something along the lines of, and all those who choose to follow me, I will honour with life, and I will raise them up at the last. But he doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that.
Right?
It goes in, when you was reading that, I was like scouring behind the mic.
And that's just one thing. I mean, you go to Ephesians, you go to Thessalonians, and you go through the whole of the book of the Bible, and it is God's choice, his call, his election. I mean, I've read some of the things that try to justify how it is that we choose God and how we therefore become elect. And we become called and we become chosen. I'm sorry.
It's confusing.
When I see a bloke or several people standing for MP into the Houses of Parliament, they aren't elect until they get all the votes.
Yeah. You're not in.
You're not in.
You're not in.
You have to be elected to get in.
That's right.
He doesn't choose himself to go in. He doesn't say, I choose to go in. I might choose to be considered, but until the population elect me, I am not elected.
I'm not in. But the scripture makes it very clear. No human being can choose God.
No one cares.
But then we come into what Steve was talking about earlier, his grace, his mercy, his beauty, his majesty. That he decides, he's chosen.
Yeah,
he's chosen me.
But if we simply look back at that point of when Jesus spoke to the disciples, you think you have chosen me. I have chosen you.
Hmm. Yeah.
Right? Paul, I have chosen him. Now, what is the difference between the 12 or the 11 disciples that were there, because Judas had already gone out to do his dirty deed.
And us lot.
And us.
What's there's the no difference. There's no difference.
They might be crowned with more honour and glory because of the choice that God has made on their life, but they are no different between you and me. They are men of blood, of flesh and blood.
Yeah.
They're sinners, corrupt.
I think what has also brought into this conversation, what I'm going to bring into this is what we've been hearing for a long time now, the seeker-friendly church. What do you want? What's going to make you want to come to church? The seeker. What is all that rubbish
it's
about?
Nonsense.
That is the opposite to what that says.
Yeah. Christ died for your sins.
Yes.
You're a corrupt and rotten, stinking, horrible human being, but God loves you.
Yeah.
And if you'll accept what he says, now there is an aspect of call, yes, and there is an aspect of acceptance, yes. But when we get through to the other side, we realise what? God has drawn me to his son, as Christ said in the gospel.
He's done
no
all.
One comes to me other than the Father draw him.
No. No. The
Father draws men to me.
The gift of salvation,
right? And I know the other aspect that if I am raised up, I will draw all men unto me.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that as well.
Yeah.
But drawing that way in the sense where God draws to the Son, because he goes on to say, "In all that the Father gives me, I will lose none."
Exactly. Yeah.
I will lose none. So if you wish to continue saying that you were the one that chose God, and that God,
that makes me God, higher.
Well, if you say that God chose you because he knew you were going to choose him, I would suggest that you're stealing the glory from God. Or I would suggest this. You better go and have a word with God, because he is stealing from you. You should be glorified and honoured for choosing God.
Exactly. Yeah, spin it right round.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, that's it. You should be honoured and glorified by God because you chose to follow him. You chose to believe in his son.
And that gives me superpower to choose a... You know, you get into
just
it.
Wait there, God. Yeah, I'll tell there. You when it's time for me to choose you.
I'm just going to live these 65, dirty years first, and then I'll come to you.
Yeah,
I mean, it doesn't line up.
To me, it's a load of nonsense.
It's an excuse to continue to rubbish.
It's not so much an excuse to continue. Basically, what it is, it's this desire for to promote man's free will. God wants us to freely choose him.
Okay.
Well, if we go back to the Romans 3, no man's going to freely choose him. He's already said so.
That's a real heavy text you've read.
No one's going to choose
him. And that was Romans chapter 3, verse? Let's have that reference. So for everyone out there listening, this is an important read.
It's from 9 to 18.
Romans chapter 3, 9 to 18. Yeah.
And so what it says here, there is not one person on this earth before this was stated, and don't forget this comes out of the Old Testament, there's not one person after this is stated who seeks God.
Yeah.
No one. It says no one. It doesn't say no one except me. It doesn't say no one except you.
Except the 144.
Right? And as I say, when Jesus said to his disciples,
yep,
you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Now, who is the liar?
That sits really nice with me. No.
Who is the liar?
Who is the liar?
Tell me, have you chosen God?
Oh, dear. Gosh, that's...
You can carry on and do as you please, pal, because I ain't going down that road with you.
No, I'm not going down that road.
I ain't going down that road with you.
And do you know what? This gives me comfort to know that he chose me.
Yes.
Because I'm in that. I'm there.
That's me.
That's me all day long.
That's me, Romans 3. Yeah, that's me. A stench in the nostrils of God.
Yeah.
I'm Romans 3. I'm Romans 7. That's me.
Yeah. God.
Corrupt and evil and a stench.
But. The but comes into it, doesn't it? But he chose us.
He chose me. There's nothing good about me. There's no reason why he should choose me. There's nothing about me.
What can I offer him?
Nothing.
Nothing, absolutely, there's nothing a human being can offer the God of Israel.
No, he brings us into the kingdom of his son.
But then people go, oh yeah, but he created us for his good pleasure and his goodwill.
Yeah, yes, he did.
That's his purpose.
That's his purpose. His purpose.
It's not.
The good old Westminster Confession. What is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Yeah. See, this is the other thing about the glorification of God.
Glory.
When Satan seeks the glory, right, he sits like an idol on a pedestal saying, come and worship me, come and worship me.
Yeah.
And people abase themselves and they slash their wrists and they do all that they do.
Yeah.
Right? But the old men of God understood something.
Mm.
What's the chief end of man? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. We come back to that aspect of humility. I humble myself by the grace of God under God.
Amen.
And I am brought into a relationship with him and I can enjoy him. And my pride, I don't want my... If my pride is going to get in my way of having communion with my God, then let me die now.
Die to self.
Let me die now. I do not want anything getting in the way.
It can't get in the way.
I don't want anything getting in the way. And for me... It says, I have shown you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God.
Amen.
Why? Jesus says, I am lowly and humble of heart.
Oh,
learn
dear.
Of me.
I am lowly and humble of heart. Again,
take my yoke upon you.
The opposite to what we're hearing.
Again, we come down to this. Take my yoke upon you. And what did we say the other week? Mm. We are yoked with him. He's not sitting on some pedestal.
No, he's here.
He's right next to me.
Yeah.
I am yoked with my Lord. I am yoked. My master doesn't say go and plough the field. He says, come on, we're going to plough that field together.
Together. So he stepped down.
He stepped down.
From glory.
He laid down, what's the song? He laid down his majesty.
That's it, that old traditional song.
He laid down his majesty.
He come down, and as the scripture says, he come down 14 generations. Oh. He come through 14 generations.
And he laid down his majesty.
To walk with humanity.
Yeah. And if people don't like what I say, I really don't care. I'm not bothered. Peace. I don't have to walk your walk. No. I have to walk my walk. And if you want to disagree with me, there's the Bible. Disagree according to the word.
And come back with a good...
No, I don't care about arguments. I'm not interested in it.
No, but they can't come back with...
No, but it doesn't matter even if they do, because I know I've wrestled with these subjects over many years with the Lord.
And you're at peace.
All right?
And you've reached
because
the place.
Because I understand that there is this aspect of man's free will. And I understand there's this aspect of God's sovereignty. I understand it. I'm not stupid. I'm not an idiot. And I've spent years in reading the word and trying to come to an understanding of it. And the only way that I can come to it is that God is sovereign.
Amen.
He has revealed himself through his word. There are certain things he does not reveal. And there are certain things that I am not allowed to look into.
Yeah, he will hold it back.
He will hold it back.
Yeah.
And he has chosen, he has elected. I mean, I'll never forget talking to some woman online. She said, election is not in the Bible.
Aye?
I beg your pardon. No, she said election isn't biblical. And I thought, I wonder what Bible you're reading then, darling. But, it's this man must have his free will. Okay, have your free will. Do what you like. I don't care. I know my God and I know my Lord and I know why I serve him. I understand I get my understanding through the word of God. If people don't like what I say, I don't care.
Because you're comfortable?
Because
you're free?
I have... sought the Lord.
You've years of searching.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to argue with people. I'm not going to debate it with people. I couldn't care less for it.
There's no time.
You know, they might wave the Greek at me and the Hebrew. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. But my understanding of the word, as I read it, as it's revealed.
And God reveals that. And God has revealed that.
And my understanding is this, that he is sovereign.
Amen.
That what he purposes to do, I do what I will and no man will reverse it. My word fulfills that which I sent it out so to do.
It can't return void.
It does not return to me void.
Praise God. His word. You know, this has been a real good chat today. You know, just gathering around the scriptures. And Steve's pulled some beautiful scriptures out. We've been in Romans chapter 3, John chapter 17 and Isaiah 42 verses 1 through to 8. The glory of God. No man can walk and can steal it. No man can say that it's on them. You know, it is just glorious. You will find that so clearly in the scripture that we've been reading in. And I just want to repeat, as the scripture says in Isaiah 42 verse 8 that Steve read out, I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. That's it.
That's it.
Done. We're out. We're walking out. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good evening. Thank you for joining us. As Steve has taken us in, he's brought us out, and we thank God that the glory belongs to Jesus. The glory is God. The glory is and always will be him. Wherever you are, we thank you so much for sharing these podcasts that we do. We'll catch you next week. Have a great day wherever you are on planet Earth, and just keep following the word. Just be in the word.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Elim Church Swanley's latest podcast. You can find us on Buzzsprout, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, Google Play, Alexa, Mixcloud, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube.